Sometimes MLB teams just sign bad contracts. Anthony Rendon, Javi Baez, Chris Bryant. Which one of those was the worst? Let's talk about it on a special happy hour edition of First Pitch. Yes, welcome on into a special happy hour edition of First Pitch. I'm Lindsey Crosby. He's Christian Rau. And we're going to talk about three bad contracts in Major League Baseball and try to figure out which one is the worst. So we're going to break them down, chat about the guys, and then we'll come back at the end and give you our thoughts on which one's worst. And we want to hear from you as well. So if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment in the episode description down below. If you're listening on audio, reach out to us. I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's on Twitter at Christian S. Rau. But all right. Anthony Rendon. So, fun fact, was drafted by the Atlanta Braves 2008 out of high school. Doesn't sign. First rounder in 2011 by the Washington Nationals. Has a good season. All-star in his final year where he bats 319 with a 1.0 OPS. Third place finisher in the MVP voting. I forget about that sometimes. With 34 bombs. Led baseball in RBI with 126. Signs with the Los Angeles Angels, and it's a big deal, right? It's a big contract. He made $26 million in his first season, and that has climbed to $38 million. He has signed through 2026. He's already made $217 million in his career. Here's the issue with Anthony Rendon. We heard him on a podcast from a friend of mine, Jack Vita, talk in the offseason about how baseball isn't the most important thing to him, right? His family is more important, his health, all of that stuff. Baseball is a job, which I get it. I understand the sentiment. Maybe you're an imperfect messenger for that, right? Yeah. That was a lot of the conversation was, bro, you've barely played baseball. You can't be coming out and telling us that you don't love baseball. Fans want to hear that you're passionate. You're doing everything you can to get back on the field. Since the Los Angeles Angels signed Anthony Rendon, they have used 28 third basemen because he's been injured and missed time. And fun fact, the Nationals let him walk in free agency. They've only used 19. So the team that got Anthony Rendon has had to use more players to replace Anthony Rendon than the team that lost Anthony Rendon. This is tough, right? Obviously, talented player, hasn't been here. Do you trust him to play a full season ever again?
No, absolutely not. I mean, look at what he's done over these past couple of years. And as you mentioned, the amount of third baseman, he signed a 7-year, $245 million contract with the Angels to be basically the backup third baseman for this team because of the amount of games that he's played. He has not played a single full season for the Angels since he's been with this squad. I just had it pulled up, but it goes away. Here it is.
He got 52 of 60 games in the shortened 2020 season. But since then, 58 is the max.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. 58 in 2021, 47 in 22, 43 last year. And he only has 39 so far this year. Now in 2020 and 2021, his numbers weren't terrible. They weren't MVP like numbers, but they weren't terrible. Let's put it that way. There were rooms for optimism saying, okay, Rendon can get back to where he's at. But have you looked at his stats over the last two or three years? And I'm just going to put one number out here, and that's his on-base percentage, Lindsey. 287 on-base percentage just this season alone. So you're telling me you're paying a guy $38 million to record an out 72% of the time?
I think what's even more egregious than that to me is his slugging percentage this year is lower than his on base. You're paying $38 million for a that literally has 13 extra base hits all season. Now, granted, 39 games. Okay, so you have to separate 2020 from the rest of it, because 2020, still pretty healthy, short season. He was actually the 10th place finisher in the MVP voting that year. Batted 286, .915 OPS, almost 100 points off of what he was in his walk year in Washington. But since then, 21 through 24, he has a combined 793 plate appearances. So he has one full season, because a full season is considered to be right there around, you know, high sixes in plate appearances, 600 at-bats, right? He in that 21 through 24, 236 batting average with a 332 on base, 347 slugging, and 13 home runs in 187 games after that 2020. And that's his year 31 through 34 seasons. He's on the downside of the aging curve. That's the problem. And you're already getting this production. Definitely a contender for worst contract in baseball, right?
Yeah, on the downside and still on the hook for almost $80 million for the Angels. Yes.
It's
not
rough.
Not good. Not good. Not like I'm seeing. And you mentioned 2021 to 2024. I'm going to give you one more. The last three seasons, 2022, 2023, 2024, he only has a combined 30 extra base hits.
Gross. So gross. Okay. From a guy who finished in a top three for MVP to a guy who won an MVP, Chris Bryant leaves the Chicago Cubs to go to the Colorado Rockies in that lockout winter, right? Signs for 7 years and $182 million. The average annual value of that deal is $26 million for Chris Bryant. Right now, he just went on the injured list. Again, I think it's either second or third time this year, while playing almost predominantly right field, right? Hasn't played third base, isn't playing a lot of first base. He's batting .218 with a .301 slugging. So it's his third season in Colorado, and combined in those three seasons, he has 159 games of .250 batting average, .713 OPS, 17 home runs.
That's the big one.
That's
17 home runs.
17 home runs from Chris Bryant. Whereas before he signed there, he had five different years where he hit more home runs than that, because 2020 doesn't count, right? But he had 26 in 2015. He had a 39 homer season when he won MVP. Go back to back rookie of the year, MVP. And then from there, 29 homers, a 31 homer year, a 25 homer year when he got traded midseason from the Cubs to the Giants. So Chris Bryant, it's been back injuries, if I remember correctly, which obviously causes issues when it comes to swinging, playing defense, all of that. That's why he's moved to the outfield versus third base, where arguably he'd be a lot more valuable. But this is another contender for worst contract, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it's definitely a contender. When you're looking at all these guys we're going to talk about, there's no doubt there's contenders. But that you mentioned it. The 17 home runs is why I think that he deserves to be on this list. We're talking about the amount of home runs for a Colorado Rocky. So at least half of his games are
that's a good point.
Field, right? And he's only getting 17 home runs. The power is not there. Another guy who in 2024 slugging is lower than his on-base percentage. So
301.
Yeah. Not good. Not good at all. I think we have two really strong contenders, but I think we might have one more that's even worse.
Hang on. Before we move on, I want to look real quick at his home. What is... Okay. Chris Bryant's home OPS is lower than his road OPS. So he has a 607 OPS in Coors, two homers in 17 games. He has a 638 away OPS. Makes no sense whatsoever. His batting average is better when he's not in Coors Field.
He's got to be one of the only people in the history of baseball that has something like that.
I don't understand. I did not look that up until we started. That is wild to me. Yeah, definitely could be one of the worst just for that reason right there. But bizarre. The third one. And a guy that's pretty much become kind of a meme at this point. Whenever there's a bad swing, it's probably coming from him. Javi Baez, another former Cub, this time goes to the Detroit Tigers. 6 years, $140 million. His average annual salary is $23.3 million. He declined, surprisingly, declined a player opt-out last season to stick. He could have left, but he's like, no, I'm going to stick around and get my remaining $98 million. Yeah. And for that, the difference here in Javi Baez to these other guys is he's played, right? 356 games in the last three seasons. I think this year was his only real injury issue. He played 144 games in his first season, 136 last year, and he has 76 right now for the Tigers. But his combined stats, 221 with a 609 OPS and 334 strikeouts for Javi Baez. And what's the most common thing that you see when you see a Javi Baez? I'm going to call it a low light. It's the catcher set up in the opposing batter's box for a slider down and away, and he still swings.
Yeah, Pitching Ninja just put one out just the other day that I had to share in the chat that I think it was against the Guardians that the catcher is far out to the right-hand side.
I've never seen a catcher that far outside.
And he still had a sword. He still had a sword from him, which was just egregious. But you're right. When you look at these numbers, you're going from a guy who was on the cover of MLB The Show one year. He goes to the Detroit Tigers and then just completely falls off. Yeah, he's a cover athlete. Remember that?
Forgot about that.
There's not a single year where since he's been with Detroit, and I keep going to on-base percentage because it's the most simple of the it's the most all around of the simple stats, if you will. And none of those are over 300. So you have below 300 in OBP for the entire seasons of 2022 and beyond. So I just don't like what we're seeing from him. And he's a liability. He's right. A liability at the plate. So when you look at these three players, and I know we're going to really break them down.
Hang on. Not done with Javi Baez yet. There's one more thing too. Last year, plus +7 of outs above average. His range was some of the best in baseball. He's been injured a little bit this year. He's a negative defender at shortstop this year as well. -1 outs above average. The one saving grace Javi Baez had entering this year was he can't hit with a lick, but he can field his position. He's a negative defender on StatCast on outs above average this year. And that's literally never. He had a plus +24 run value in 2019. He was at plus +7 last year. He's at minus -1 right now, both outs above average and run value, which is just a place he's never been.
When I think of the good things of Javier Baez, like the good memories, I think of the World Baseball Classic, Yadier Molina throwing that pickoff and he's pointing back at him to get the tag.
As he makes the tag.
Like, that's amazing defense. And you're telling me that he doesn't have that anymore? Oh, and by the way, he's also not a good batter. But we can't move him. We can't move from him because we're paying him so much money. Is he the Chris Davis of the Detroit Tigers? Is that where we're at right now with Javier Baez?
I feel like Chris Davis at least gave you homers.
That's fair.
Chase rate. First percentile, 43.4%. Walk rate, bottom 10% in baseball, only 4.4%. Whiff rate, he's bottom 20th in baseball, 29.5% whiff rate. Like, he's just doing everything poorly, and that's, I think, a problem. When you owe the guy, counting this year, you owe him just like $98 million, right? And he has a 10-team no-trade clause.
Who's going to want to trade for
him? Oh, and after 2026, when he goes into the final year of his deal, he'll have 10-5 rights. He'll have a full no trade clause.
Yeah, Detroit's on the hook for that. You might as well try and figure out some kind of deferral money if you just want to get him off the team. But yeah, they're on the hook. So who's the worst contract in baseball? If you had to pick from these three, Lindsay, I have a hard time deciding. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have to go to the reasons. I go for the reasons of what they have done for those teams and where those teams were at. Why did they make those contract decisions and what did that help them moving forward? Right.
So I'm going to go with, for me, I'm going to go with Javi Baez. He's not making as much money as the other two guys, but at least with the other two guys, you have explanations, right? Anthony Rendon has been incredibly injured. Chris Bryant has had this recurring back issue that he has not been able to beat for years now. Like, you can point to something, and their biggest issues have been availability and then not performing that well when they've been on the field because they're just coming back from the injury or they're dealing with it before they go on the IL. And there's things still to like about these guys. Anthony Rendon's chase rate is one of the best in baseball. He rarely swings and misses. He rarely strikes out compared to everybody else. It's you could feel like if he was healthy, fully healthy, had a fully healthy offseason, there is the ability for him to produce something a little bit better. Javi Baez is just bad. And now that he's starting to get hurt as well, he's not giving you anything when he's not on the field. And when he is on the field, he's not very good. And to me, that's worse, right? At least with Rendon, you have some hope that if he was fully healthy. With Bryant, you have some hope. If he was fully healthy, they're never going to be MVP candidates again, but maybe they could be a little bit better than they are. You have no hope with Javi Baez.
I agree with you. I think Baez is the worst of these three. I think Chris Bryant, just because he's in Colorado, I mean, what were we expecting from him? Let's be honest, right? I think we all thought when he signed that he was just chasing the money. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like that's the case here. But I have to throw this out, this whole what-if scenario with Anthony Rendon. If Rendon is healthy, do we see Shohei Ohtani still at the Angels right now? Do we see the Angels make a playoff appearance?
If you have Anthony Rendon and Mike Trout,
I still think
Shohei probably left in free agency, but I think if those two guys are healthy and playing like we think they're capable of, and we have a lot more faith in Trout than Rendon, I do think the story of Shohei Ohtani's tenure with the Angels is different, right? I do think that there is some more positives. We've seen Shohei in the playoffs. We've seen some good things from him in LA with the Angels. I still think he leaves, because I just don't think anybody matches $700 million. But I do think we have more positive memories. And I do think the Angels probably legitimately had a chance at re-signing him if Rendon was healthy that whole time, if Trout was healthy that whole time, and the three of them could be the top three hitters in the lineup and really kind of, you know, carry that team into the postseason.
So would you say that we can agree that Javier Baez is the worst contract out of the three, but Rendon is the most impactful?
If we think that Rendon being healthy could have made Shohei re-signing with the Angels, then that's the worst. But I don't think that's the case. So, yeah, Baez is the worst. Rendon's the most impactful about him being bad, because nobody expected anything in Colorado anyway for that team. But you could see how the Angels could have gotten to contention with a healthy Rendon and a healthy Trout. So
this is the deep dive analysis and fun you get over here at our happy hour versions of First Pitch. So I hope you guys are liking this.
Exactly. We're going to, if you have ideas for a future happy hour episode, leave them in the comments below. Again, if you're on audio, subscribe to the show, leave us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, leave us a comment, subscribe to the channel, turn on the little bell notification so you know when we drop these surprise afternoon shows. Until tomorrow morning, this has been First Pitch.